Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. I am so excited about today's episode because you guys get to listen in on a candid conversation with one of my dear friends that I met in the online space, literally in a Facebook group that we're both in. And her name is Sunshine Kelly Moore. Sunshine is the founder and CEO of Virtual Fitness Technology, also known as FitTech, which is the hub for virtual fitness instructors to learn about tech, equipment, sales, marketing, and how to successfully launch your own online fitness business. If this is something you're interested in, listen in today's episode. But guess what? We're not just talking about FitTech. We are digging into how to grow an online business and what it means to start from scratch, really good marketing strategies, and also just real life conversation between two online business owners in this space, what we're feeling, what we're going through, and what's happening now and what we hope will happen in the future. This episode is actually going to be two parts. Today is part one, and you guys are going to get to hear me interview Sunshine, and stay tuned because next week we'll be part two, where Sunshine asks me all the juicy questions. I hope you guys love today's episode. Be sure to give Sunshine Kelly a follow over on Instagram at FitTech University. Trust me when I say she knows her stuff. All right, without further ado, here is Sunshine Kelly Moore.
Hi. Hey, Amanda, how are you?
Gosh. Okay. So I know last time we chatted, we talked a lot about like the evolution of your business and how you took like this really big pivot into where you are now. So walk me through like how your business has evolved over the past couple of years, especially now that we're slightly coming out of the pandemic, but like kind of not really at the same time, and what that process has looked like.
Sure. You know, but maybe your listeners don't know, that I had a brick and mortar studio, Sunshine Fitness Company. I was a fitness instructor for a long time and opened my own studio. We made it maybe halfway through the pandemic, and I pivoted quickly to make it a hybrid studio to have everything online because where I live, it was illegal what I was doing, and gyms didn't open for a very, very, very long time. We were one of the last states. And during that time, I was taking a training from Screw the 9-to-5, which is Josh and Jill Stanton, about how to build courses. I love teaching. That's one of my top three strengths. So I was taking this course, and in the meantime, I happened to have posted a video, I think it was in the Bar Above community, on, I think it was Mary, doesn't matter, it was a tech video about something to do with virtual fitness. And I received so many inquiries. Well, what camera are you using? What are you doing for sound? What are you doing for mic? This, that, and the other thing. And I answered all the questions, and I got to a point in my business where I really recognized I have to choose one. I can either keep with being in the business, in fitness, in the studio, or pivot to courses, being the teacher and teaching fitness instructors how to have their own virtual studio. I decided to pivot. I closed the business. I don't have the brick and mortar studio or that overhead anymore. And I put all that income into the back end of building this new business, which is FitTech. And as you know, there's a lot that goes into building the back the structure, the bones of a business, yes. Right? So much. It took about a year to really build it.
It's like literally equivalent to growing a baby. I think like you hear people say like my business is my baby. That is an accurate statement because it's like you spend all this time like growing this business and like things are happening on the back end that like people aren't really noticing probably on the front end. Mm-hmm. And so much goes into it, but then it's like, you get to a place finally, like 9-10 months later, where like it's up and running and people can see it, and you're like, yes, I created this.
Yes, absolutely. I've brought it to the point where we have the podcast now, which is our main channel for communicating, for getting the word out, right, about what is Fig Tech and working on messaging and branding and really what are we? And I keep having to narrow it down, Amanda, because as you know, entrepreneurs, we have ideas for days and we want to do it all and we want to do it all right now.
Yeah.
This, patience. This and this.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Patience is not a virtue of ours in the least bit, which I think is like why entrepreneurs are entrepreneurs, because like probably a sane person would be like, we should think through this. And we're like, no, we're just going to like go for it now.
Right. We'll see. We'll see if it sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I've decided and working on the messaging that Fit Tech, I've called it the hub for virtual fitness instructors to learn about tech and equipment. Plus, I have this included, and you can tell me what you think, plus sales and marketing to successfully launch their virtual studio.
I think that's amazing. I think those are probably going to be the two things that people get hung up on the most. I think about myself, even like not fitness related, but like if I'm going to go tackle something new, the two things that always spin my mind are the tech side of things and the marketing and messaging, because like you can spend all this time, like, you know, we're talking about building out your business, but then at the end of the day, like you have to then promote it so that people know about it. Otherwise, like it's not really going to be much of a business because there's not going to be cash flow coming in.
Right. Exactly. So my goal is, I have mini courses, right? I have one that I recorded, Confidence on Camera, that's stopping a lot of virtual fitness instructors from even starting. We have the mini courses and then the signature course. Everyone needs a signature course, right? You know.
Yeah.
That is how to successfully launch your business. And that includes both the tech and the marketing. Because if I earn your trust with the tech, and everybody needs this, and I can teach this as a mini course, really I can. And the deliverable promise is that your studio will be up and running in 14 days.
Right? Which is nothing.
Nothing, right?
Like it takes longer to like binge watch some Netflix shows.
Absolutely. Gilmore Girls 4 times, raising my hand.
Right?
But my goal is to earn the trust of virtual fitness instructors with the 14-day course. And when they're ready, there's the signature course, which includes all of the marketing strategy. And I don't think I even mentioned this the last time we talked. I teach marketing at the university. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah. I want to teach people how to actually build their marketing strategy so that they have a plan to go forward with. Another hang up that I can simplify for virtual fitness instructors is they hate sales. It scares them. They hate it. Mm-hmm. They feel dirty. They feel yucky. But if we arm virtual fitness instructors with a marketing strategy, they're actually explaining the solution, not selling something that they don't believe in.
Right. And I like to think about it too, when it comes to anything that has to do with sales, is one, if you're talking about what you know and love, so like that's going to come natural to most people, I would think. I mean, once you nail, like, you know, getting the tech and the confidence down, talking about what you know and love usually is pretty easy. And then the second portion of it is really knowing who you're talking to. And you're just talking about how you can solve their problem. Yes. So I like to think about it as like, I am doing them a service by telling them about how I can help them. Like, how sad would it be if somebody who wanted that solution couldn't find it because I wasn't talking about it? Like, that would be even more sad to me than spending all my days talking about it, you know?
I agree. Yes, I like how you explain that too.
Yeah, it's funny because I think even, you know, as business owners, we struggle to do this because like we, you know, think that like everybody hears everything that we say always. And I notice this a lot, especially with small business owners, is they'll mention it like once and then they're like, oh, I talked about it like 3 weeks ago on Instagram stories. And I'm like, oh no, like, you know, like 1% of your audience sees what you talk about on social media. And that's not like a full fledged marketing plan. So right. You have to think like a lot of times people who are on your social media and following you are usually people that you know, competitors or people that, you know, might be interested, but like those aren't usually the people that are like boom ready to buy. So like you have to have a greater strategy. And I'm sure you probably teach this in your course other than like popping on Instagram stories and being like, hey, by the way, like I run Fit Tech University, because like at the end of the day, like that is not exactly like an actual marketing strategy. That is just like nurturing the following that you already have.
Yes. Yes. I might call it even a tactic, right? Just part of the marketing mix.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I feel like a lot of times I was even just listening to somebody's Instagram story and they're like, that is not a strategy. Like posting daily is not a strategy. And they're like, no, it is. Like I post daily. And they're like, what? No, that's not a strategy. Like you said, that's a tactic. Like that's one thing. It's like a piece of the puzzle of all the things that you do.
Yeah.
So interesting. Okay, so tell me a little bit. I know you have like Fit Tech up and running. You have the podcast. Walk me through like your strategy. Where it's crazy to say, but halfway through the year, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know how like at the beginning of the year, everybody's talking about like their New Year's resolutions and all the things they're going to accomplish. How has that kind of evolved now that we're halfway through the year? And like, what does this next half of the year have in store for you and for your business and maybe even your students?
Great question. I am in the nurture, building the relationship stage, getting the word out there, right? Not making hard offers yet. Do I have confidence on camera, the course? Yes, I do. It's a $37 course. Go grab it. Right now, I committed to 6 months, so January to July, nurturing, building the relationship, getting the word out there, the name, connecting with people, right? And then the second half is really to start making those offers while still building, right? And having those lead generation pieces, one a week. The podcast will focus more on that first mini course. For example, one of the pillars of the mini course is cameras. So we might do a month of cameras and filming tips. Everything about August will be about filming. And then come September, everything will be about platforms, where I review the different platforms you can be on and different tips on what to ask and what to look for and how to evaluate. And then in October, it'll be about pricing, things like that. So to review, 6 months of building, relationship nurturing, not really pushing anything other than, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. Would love to get to know you and start building the relationship. And I think 6 months is honestly actually pretty short in the long run when we need, it used to be, you know this, 7 touch points.
Yes.
Now it's 50 or 60 touch points, right?
Yeah.
And I fully expect that to take probably a year of the 50 to 60 touch points where we're building all of this. We'll have the mini course, how to set up your virtual studio. But then come January, we'll launch the signature course. By then, my goal is to have built the relationship. Are you ready for the signature course? It's not just the tech, but all this marketing as well.
Yeah. So how did you kind of come up with like, I know you talked about, okay, this month we're going to be focusing on X, Y, and Z. And then this month we're going to be focusing on X, Y, and Z. How did you come up with like that plan? Because I think that is one of the tricky things. And that's almost like coming up with like a marketing strategy. You know, you're in the nurture phase and you're really focusing on building out your community. Because at the end of the day, like you have to have somebody to sell this stuff to.
Yes.
And like you said,
yes.
Like that does take time sometimes, you know, like it's so easy to think, if you're looking at people that are 10 years into their entrepreneurial journey and they have these massive audiences and they're able to literally come up with an idea and then like literally they could launch it the next day and probably have a successful launch. And that's because they spent the time building up their audience. Yes. And providing them with all this free value that you talked about, you know, like you get them in with the $37 program, but then you're continuing to add value to them that probably equals a whole lot more than $37 at the end of the day. And they're like, wow, this girl knows what she's talking about. And then when you do present that offer of your signature course, which is probably going to be a higher ticket item because it's going to be even more valuable.
Of course.
They're like, well, yeah, of course I would sign up for that because like, look at all this stuff that she's already given me for free. Like, why would I not want to take her paid program? That's probably going to be 10 times better than all this free stuff too. So walk me through like how you look at that and how you work it backwards to be able to determine like what is a good offer for something that's free versus something that's paid and like how do you lay that out in like a strategic game plan?
I like that. You are wonderful to communicate with, Amanda. The theme idea, I got that from Emily Hirsch of Hirsch Marketing. I'm in her program, which I joined to learn how to do Facebook ads. We have to pay for advertising. Yes, we do. Or the algorithm is not in our favor. And lots of people don't want to hear that, but it's true. I got the theme idea from her. And I said, okay, how can I make a theme around what I am offering? And I looked at the mini course and said, well, if there are four or five pillars, they need to be around those four or five pillars, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've put out different parts of the pillars so far with the podcast and looked at the analytics and seeing what is gravitating and landing with people and what's not. And most of the time it's the tech. It's when I had somebody on to teach about microphones, right? That one. Woo! When I put the title, how to set up your virtual studio. Wow. I had over 1,000 downloads on that one. I said, okay, I know this is landing. I have to keep getting the word out about those things. And the more I can narrow in per episode and make it digestible, right? 20 minutes of pick from these cameras, here's how you would decide. And when I talk with people, they are telling me, yes, that was helpful. You told me exactly what three camera options I had in the one-to-one meetings I'm having. I said, okay, great. I can do that. I can break that down. But to really answer your question, I got the theme idea from Emily Hirsch.
I love that. And I'm also in her program too. It's funny because, okay, I want to cycle back on two things. One, I want to talk about these themes, yeah. But I also want to talk about what you said, which was paid ads. And I feel like so many people, when they hear the word paid ads, I feel like it's kind of like sales where they're like, feels so gross. But at the end of the day, like if you think about running your business like a business, I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs think about it as an extension of ourselves. And if we can take ourselves out of the business and really think about it strategically, some of your favorite brands that you know, we shop at, like, I'm trying to think of one, for example. Oh my gosh. Okay. Aerie, because I just bought a swimsuit from them. I love them as a brand. They're a great company. Do you think they say to themselves, ew, no, we're not going to pay for marketing? Like, absolutely not. They're going to be like, okay, how can we use our marketing budget most strategically? But they never are going to say, ew, I'm not going to pay for ads. So when people talk about, you know, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, Pinterest ads, like wherever you're putting your ad dollars, the platform really doesn't matter. But it's funny because I think people get so cringy about it. The idea of like putting ads on a social media platform, but like that's where your people are. And it's going to resonate with them and you believe in your product and it's a good product. Why not put ad dollars behind it? It's the same way you invest in a 401k. Like you put money knowing that you're going to get a return on your investment. Like that's the purpose of the ad. And also like we talked about to get the word out there. It's an online business. So it's not like, you know, somebody can walk by your store and see the sign on the side of the road and then walk in. Like they have to see your storefront somehow. And most people aren't like searching out that information. Like you have to put it in front of them and say, hey, here's what I have to offer. And I think, you know, like you talked about working that messaging backwards so that when you do put ad dollars behind something, you have a strategy behind how you're going to nurture them once they're in your audience. And that brings me to like the themes. I think it's so genius to think about, okay, so you know, like these are your content pillars. Mm-hmm. And not just your content pillars about like, here's what I want to talk about, but like, no, these are like what my people are struggling with. Like, here's what they're getting hung up on. Here's what they're telling me. I don't know how to do this. I need help with this. And then you're creating content around like their needs, not just around like what you want to talk about.
Yes to all of that. And to bring it back to the marketing strategy, it's a strategy, right? And it makes sales turn into a strategy instead of sales being yucky and feeling weird. Well, if you're going to be in business, you have to learn how to sell, but you can sell by serving. And part of that serving is getting the word out, paying for advertisement. It's not wrong. It's not dirty. It's how you're going to build your business.
Yeah. I love the word serve. That's like one of my favorite words to use too, because you really are serving your community, and it's okay to serve your community through both paid and non-paid offers. I think about myself as a consumer, like I'm 100% willing to exchange my money for something of value if it's going to help me make my life easier, get something done faster, get to where I want to go, like whatever that looks like. If somebody's like, I can provide this for you, I will be like, yes, here is my money. Take it, because that sounds great. And I like to think about that for like our paid offers too. You know, like sometimes I'm like, gosh, like this is a lot of money to invest, but like, you know what? They're being handed basically an entire virtual assistant business, like literally just handed to them. Everything that's in my head is in this course. So like, actually that is worth a lot more than what I'm charging. So then I don't feel as bad about it. You know, like this is great value. And I think like, gosh, like if somebody had handed me this for this amount of dollars, like I'd be like, that's it. Like, can I give you more? Like, I feel like it's worth more than that, you know?
Yes. Yes. And when we give them the solution and we can give it to them where they can find the answer quicker, right? People will pay for that.
Yeah, that
and by pay for it, they're investing in themselves.
Exactly. And the best part is if you're running a business, it's all tax deductible.
Amen.
So you're like, oh, I need to invest in myself. Great. Let's just subtract that.
Yes.
At least that's what my bookkeeper tells me. So
mind you.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about your strategy. What advice can you give for somebody that's like kind of in those beginning stages? Like they're just getting started and they don't know exactly where to put their efforts. Like, do they start out with focusing on their marketing plan? Do they start out with just nurturing their audience? Do they start out with like building things up on the back end? Do they need to be focusing on like their website? Like, there's so many things I feel like that go into an online business that I think it can be overwhelming to really know. Like we talked about, you know, earlier, we've been like outsourcing some things in our business because we know in the back of our head as business owners, like, gosh, we're at a point in our business where like this is not the task we should be working on. So like, what are some things that a new business owner could focus on to help them drive them forward and start seeing like a return on their investment?
This is such a good question. I don't know if I have the right answer, and I don't know if one exists. So let me put that out there.
Okay, I like that. And also, I'm sure it's one of those where it probably depends on your business and your niche and all of those things. Sure. But you can take a stab at it.
A couple of things that I think would be beneficial. One, yes, is to have a marketing strategy that is actually written out on paper, right? This is why I'm doing this business. And here's the strategy. Here's my marketing mix, my product, my pricing, my promotion, my place, all those things. But I also think that entrepreneurship is such an unknown territory if you've never been in it, that getting with people that know it and understand it and you can feel less alone is very important. Because, and I think this leads into, I'm looking at our notes, our mindset question, that it becomes lonely and you question yourself every day and wonder, should I stick with it? Because a lot of times it's the long term, right? I just told you, I'm building out a year strategy of nurturing. That's a long time. A long time, right?
To think about you're doing this and showing up every single day.
Yeah.
And knowing that, like, okay, this is probably going to take a year, maybe more.
And that's
okay.
Yes. In fact, I had a tennis business that I have now closed, but I started it in 2002 and it took me until 2013. But in 2013, I had the first sponsorship by the Detroit Pistons for any tennis company that they ever sponsored. And I started in 2002. Talk about patience, right? But you show up every day, not knowing. You have to be okay. You're not going to know what the result is.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's actually genius advice. And I think that's something that I wish I would have done sooner in my business was, and I'm sure you probably feel this way, like you get started and you're just in the thick of it. You're trying to figure out all these different tech platforms and you're trying to like get the actual meat and potatoes of the business up and running, whether it's attracting clients or, you know, creating a product, physical, digital, whatever. And that takes so much time that like, I feel like you're right. It is a little bit lonely. And then you have this mental battle, at least I know I did and still do, where you're like, am I doing this right? Should I be doing this? Do I even have like the expertise to be like teaching on this topic? Is what I'm creating, is this good? Like, do people want this? Are they going to pay for it? Like, you have this like cycle of questions that go through your head constantly.
Yes.
And then at the same time, like, you're also thinking like, okay, I need to support my family. Like, this has to work. Like, we need to figure this out because like,
this is a business,
like, which means money needs to come into the business and you're, you know, trying to figure out your marketing strategy and like, oh, what's an email list? And like, oh, let me like figure out how to build out a website now. And oh my gosh, I need to hire somebody. Like, how do I do that? Like, what are taxes? Like, there's so many things that go through your head. And I think you're right. Like, having somebody that's kind of in that, it doesn't have to be in the same niche. It can just be in the online space or whatever space you're in where they get it. Like, they can be a sounding board. They can be that person that's like, girl, I am right there with you. Like, I am struggling.
Yes, wondering, should I continue or give in and go get the corporate job? Like, wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, don't go back.
You got out. Don't go back.
It's funny because anytime I have a bad day, sometimes I'll like not complain, but just like sort of tell my mom like, oh, this is what's happening. Like, things are crazy right now. And she always asks me the same question. She's like, would you go back to your like corporate job, like your 9-to-5? It wasn't 9-to-5, but would you go back to it? And my answer is always, hell no. Like,
right.
And right. I think that's good to remember, like, if you ever have those bad days, like, it coming back to, like, why are you doing this? And would you still go back to, like, if you've already left that 9-to-5, like, would you go back to it? And the answer is probably no. And then you're probably like, okay, like, things aren't that bad. Like, I'm just making it worse than it seems. I'm being dramatic.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about how you manage your mindset as an entrepreneur. Any like tips and tricks you have around that? If you like have specific routines, I know some people like to journal in the mornings and stuff like that, and kind of like what that looks like for you.
Sure. I learned the thought model, which originally is from B school. And then my counselor or self-leadership health coach, and she calls herself a health coach, is Courtney Townley. And she has a community called Rumble and Rise. And I've been in there for almost 2 years. And so much of it is around thought management. A couple of the things that I'll share here and just say, it took a while, is with thought management, she takes us through the model where we start with a fact. The fact could be, my podcast got lost, right? That's a fact. So then, Amanda, you would say, my thought about that is, that sucks. You would journal about it, but that sucks. And then what is the emotion? Anger, disappointment.
Anger.
Okay, I'm angry, right? And then how did that cause you to show up that day?
Ooh, frazzled and panicked.
Panicked, right. And then what was the result of that behavior that day?
Oh, gosh. Well, I had like, oh, my gosh moment. And then definitely a self-pity moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I have to re-record all of these. And I have to tell people that I lost these episodes. So all of that was stressful for me because I'm 100% a people pleaser. So like disappointing people is not something that I thrive in. Like it gives me anxiety knowing that I'm about to have like a hard conversation or have to deliver bad news to somebody.
Sure.
So all of that equals stress for me.
Okay. And were you patient with your children that day?
Oh, probably not. Actually, with them, I'm always sweet to them, but my poor husband probably gets like,
probably the, not.
Yeah, he gets the butt of it, you know?
So we call that the unintentional model. That's naturally what happens. And you know, we're going through this at a high level. Then we do an intentional model, and she taught us how to do this. We'll start at the bottom where we create or write out the result we want. What result would you have wanted that day? Treat your husband right, or whatever.
Yes.
Right? Treat my husband kindly. Okay. In order to treat your husband kindly, how do you have to act or behave?
Definitely more patient and kind, which means I probably need to not be feeling like things are crazy.
Right, right. So speaking to a husband kindly would be the action or the behavior. Above that is the emotion, right? You get to create your new emotion. Remember, the fact is your podcasts are gone, your recordings. New emotion would be?
I feel okay about it.
Okay, perfect. I feel okay. Sounds like acceptance. I feel okay. And then the thought is, you can create a new thought. If you were to recreate your own thought that you picked about it, what could you say?
Well, still that sucks, but it's not that big of a deal. We'll just re-record them.
We'll take that. Perfect. Now you've created your own intentional model. And this is a process that I went through quickly, but it's something Courtney works with us every single week where you could literally do it on a napkin. And if we're having challenging moments, I will stop and I will write this out. It takes me maybe 2 minutes and I will look at the intentional and say, okay, can I think that? Sure. Can I feel that? I'm going to try.
Right?
And if I can't get there, she calls it ladder thoughts. So maybe I pick something that's just too, I just can't get there, right? I'm going to pick a thought that's not quite there, but gets me there, and an emotion that I can't get there, but I could be here, whatever it is. To circle back and answer your question, it's one of the most powerful things that have helped me with mindset because I can just reel and reel and reel and tell myself stories and decide these things mean the worst thing in the world, or I can decide to make them mean something different. And if I'm going to decide they need to mean something different, I need to change my thinking.
I love that. I think that's so powerful. I feel like I'm already thinking in my head of like a million different ways I can use that.
Yeah.
Especially in business, because like we talked about earlier, we tell ourselves, I think, a lot of stories that probably, maybe some of them are true, but most of them probably aren't. And I think being that it is such an isolating role, being an entrepreneur, you're the leader of your business, you have like these thoughts floating around in your head, and having the power to be able to control them and to be able to make them go where you want them to go, I think is so powerful, you know?
Yes.
Because I feel like at the end of the day, like our minds are the creators of our business. And so the same way we have to work on our health and our fitness, and it's important to be able to like nourish your body, you have to nourish your mind, you have to train it the same way you would for a marathon or anything else, so that it can continue to keep up with the business. Because like your mind is essentially the business, like it is the creator of everything, so you have to be able to feed into it. And I just think like having that type of mindset, and then also being okay with like, okay, maybe my first thought or even my second thought is not what I want it to be. That's okay, because we're human, but I can control the third thought that I have, the fourth thought that I have. And then I think eventually, and I'm sure you probably experience this having worked on this for so long, those third and fourth thoughts become your first and second thoughts. Like you don't have to work as hard because if you've already put in the training.
Yes. It's like a craving. If you let a craving pass, it'll be gone in 3 to 5 minutes. If you let those first and second thoughts pass, they'll be gone and you'll arrive to a more centered, more grounded thought if you've been working on focusing on how you think. And it is a practice. It doesn't just happen.
No. And it's one of those things that I feel like people don't talk about enough. It's like, oh, you do have control over your thoughts.
Yes. I was just talking to Emily Hirsch, actually, and I've talked to her a few times, her directly, like this, and said, your program is amazing. I love the program itself, the content, but it's missing the mindset piece. Because you can teach everybody these tools, but there's no one there to help them when they're having imposter syndrome or when they can't seem to overcome their thoughts that day and they just quit. And it could be something small that day. But if there isn't somebody there, a coach there to help them work through that and make it okay to have that conversation, a lot of people are going to get stuck. And so I'm kind of in your ear and I said, when you're ready, you can hire me. I am a licensed psychologist. I'll come in and be your mindset coach.
I love that. I feel like that would be such like a cool like add-on bonus or even like a specialty like once a month, like come in. And I think that would be awesome.
Yes. I keep poking at her about it.
What did she say? Was she like, maybe?
I think I'm wearing her down.
Okay, yes. Good.
Yes, because she mentioned something about mindset the other day. And she said, I usually don't talk about mindset. And I said, oh, is that because I was talking in your ear?
Yeah. See those 50 touch points. You're probably at like 25. You're almost there.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Yeah, I think that would be so valuable. It's one of those things where, you know, so many people talk about, and of course, as do we, because I literally love to talk about the business and the strategy and like all the pieces that go into it. But I think once you have that established, you really have to think about like, okay, I am the business, like I run it. How do I become better so that I can keep up with the business? Like, you know, it's like that old saying goes, like, you're only as strong as your weakest link. Well, think about like, if your mind is your weakest link, that's directly linked to like the results in your business.
Yes.
You know, like we have to pour into ourselves so that we can continue to pour into the business. And I think it's like so directly related. It's crazy.
Yes. And you won't have a business if you don't take control of your thoughts and your thinking.
Right. Exactly. Because like you said, like you have that person who's going to be like, I'm dead. Like I can't, you know, like one direct message will get to them or they'll have a poor review or something will be hard because it's new and they don't know how to do it and they don't know how to navigate that process. And they're like, yeah, like, forget it. I'm done.
Right.
Or they show up in a way, like you talked about, that they didn't want to show up. Like, I feel like it's so easy to sometimes, because we are so connected to things in our business, if something goes wrong or there's an outcome that we didn't want or there's a client or a student that is upset, we respond very quickly with emotions based on like that first thought that we're having. And like, that's not always how we wanted to show up either as a leader or as a representative of our business or as the business itself. You know, like if you're responding to somebody that's like, your course sucks and I want a refund. Like you're like, oh my gosh, you're horrible. Like, you know, you're responding to this person and then you're this person, like this is their perception of the company, like not you, this is their perception of the company. Then like that could be very damaging very quickly too.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And I think it trickles over into personal life too, right? Mm-hmm. I was very upset about something my husband chose to do yesterday. And he said, you know what? I am not going to respond to this right now because I don't think I'd be very nice. I'm going to think about it. And when I'm ready, I will come back with thoughts and conversation.
And I love
it'll
that.
Be much better than what I would like to say to you right now. About the pile of dirt on my lawn right now.
Right? Like, we're going to table this and we're going to come back to it calmly.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's true. And especially too, I think, you know, as entrepreneurs, our business a lot of times can trickle into our life because those lines are very blurred, especially working from home, running an online business. You have all these other things being a mom, being a wife, being a friend, like all these other roles that you're playing that I think I know. And I think I felt this way personally, like if things in the business are good, like everything else is good. You know what I mean? Like everything else is going smoothly. But if things in the business are chaotic or stressful, it's very easy to let that trickle into all the other facets of your life, because a lot of times, like, we'll put the business before anything else, you know, like, oh, well, the business needs me. I need to work until 11 p.m. until this stuff is done. Or like, I have this client that's asking me questions and like, I have to get back to them right away. Like, it doesn't matter that my kid's like literally like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, oh no, sorry. Like, I have to focus on this other thing. So I think, you know, really making sure that like we are pouring into ourselves so that we can make sure that the business is structured, then it also helps to put up those parameters so that it doesn't like leak into all the other portions of your life. And like that negativity doesn't carry over too.
And speaking of that, creating boundaries or work hours can be, I think, a challenge. And for it's ever evolving, right? I don't know if it is for you, maybe with two children now and questioning, is it okay that I put this boundary on or not okay that I put this boundary on? You know, we have to come up with creative ways to make sure that we can get our work done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But still show up as a mom and as a wife and, oh, right, yourself too.
Yeah, it's definitely ever-evolving. I know, like, you know, when I first started the business, the way that I worked then versus now looks very different, and it looked different in the middle of all of that too. And I think, you know, a lot of it is based on like the stage of life that you're in. Like somebody who has, you know, kids that are grown and in college and they aren't having to worry about getting their kids off to school in the morning and packing lunches and taking them back and forth to soccer practice. Like that person has a lot more flexibility than the mom that has a newborn baby, you know, like,
right.
So I think a lot of times too, like we could be, gosh, like how does this, like she's a mom, like how does she have so much time? And like, depending on where you are in your life, your working boundaries are probably going to look very different. Like, I'm in a season where I would love to just work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, but like, that's not always realistic because I have like two little kids, one of which who's like literally home with me. So like, I'm forced to have to take breaks because he's like, hey mom, I need to eat. You know what I mean? Like,
right now.
Yeah. And like, that's like the kind of thing that like doesn't wait. But then at the same time, I think, you know, being able to like have grace with yourself and knowing like where you are and what your capabilities are. And then also being okay with like having to sometimes say no to things so that you can say yes to other things. Like I know that I'm also in a season of life where like I might have to say no to certain things because like I literally just don't have the bandwidth. But also knowing that like, here in a year, 2 years down the road, when the kids are older, like I'll be able to say yes to those things and it'll be okay. And like the opportunities, just because we say no to them now doesn't mean that they're going away permanently, you know?
I do. I just had to make a hard decision in regard to this. I'm a tennis coach. You know, I have a tennis business, but I'm not able to put in my own practice hours right now that I would really like to be putting in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a match last week, first of the season. And I'm just going to tell you, I got my butt whooped, which I'm not, I am not used to getting my butt whooped.
What just happened?
By anybody. And it was kind of a come to Jesus moment for me. And I said, I really need to be practicing 5 days a week to play at this high level. And right now that's just not available to me. Perhaps I consider not competing and practicing when I can and taking that pressure off so I can enjoy the practices. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm really getting into running with my church group. And I can run any time during the day when it literally fits in my schedule, right? And it's free, by the way. And it's more flexible with my life right now. And it's new to me, so it's a new challenge. And I thought, okay, would it be okay, self, if you still had tennis, but in a different way, and added running in a new way, would that be okay right now? And I had to step back and I ran it by my husband and a couple of my tennis friends. And they said, yeah, we agree. If you're going to play 4 or 5 tennis, you need to be playing 5 days a week. And right now you just can't. And half the time you're here, your kid is here and you're not 100% focused anyway. Because she just ran off and you're like, oh, hold on, I'll be right back.
Yeah, like, let me go get my child.
Yeah, that literally happened. I was in the middle of a match and I said, I'm sorry, I got to go find out where my kid went.
I mean, what are you going to do, right?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Turns out my husband had shown up to scoop her and I didn't know that. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Right. A little heads up would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like having to make that decision, I'm sure it was so hard because tennis is such a big part of your life, you know?
It is.
And I think there's, that might look different for somebody else. For you, it's tennis. For somebody else, you know, it might be they need more one-on-one time with their husband and like they have to work in a date night, which means they have to hire a babysitter, which means maybe you have to cut back on your Starbucks runs. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
thinking backwards of like, okay, this is a priority to me. Like, how can I make it work for the season that I'm in? Yeah. I mean, we talk about stuff like that all the time. For me, I'm like, I have this like desire to want to stay home with my kids, but also I'm running this business and I'm like, okay, I literally can't do two things at once. So I'm having to look at like childcare. Do I hire a babysitter for a few days a week? Do I, you know, like, what does that look like? Does my husband like cut back on work? Do I cut back? Like, how do we like make that work so that like you can still have the life that you want, but also you can still have these other things too? And just being okay with the reality may not always be what we thought it was going to be, but it's okay.
It's okay. I think that's a normal struggle that I've come around to just recently with how life phases happen and that they're okay, they're supposed to, instead of always hanging on to, well, this is how it used to be, right?
Right.
And in the health and fitness industry, it's, well, I used to fit in these pants and I've never really felt that. But I think what I'm realizing is I don't think I'm trying to fit physically into those pants, but sometimes I think I'm trying to fit into that lifestyle where I get to do all these things. And then, wait a minute, no, you're a wife. You're a mom, you're a business owner, and it's important to still take self-time. And how do you do that? What does that look like in this season?
Right. Like, it was so much easier to, like, fit in self-care when I, like, was married and had no kids. And I could, like, you know, get up and go to 6 a.m. yoga and didn't have to worry about, you know. Like, there's so many things where I'm like, okay, it was a lot easier back then, but like, you can still have those things. It's just going to look a little bit different. And it's funny too, because I think, you know, a lot of these things that we're talking about are like such big, beautiful blessings. So I try to back to that mindset piece of like, okay, instead of being frustrated that I can't go to 6 a.m. yoga, I'm like, how blessed am I that I have tiny humans in my bed on a Tuesday morning who like love me. Like, that's what you prayed for, you know? So thinking about it in like a positive way of like, I don't get to do 6 a.m. yoga because I'm so blessed with X, Y, and Z. Or like, how lucky am I, you know, that I'm stressed out about a business because like I have a business to run, you know, like I have a business to be stressed out about. So that is something that I used to pray for. Like, I used to think like, how can I get out of this 9-to-5 job? And now like the thing that's stressing me out is the thing that I wish for. Like, you can flip your mindset on that instead of being like, gosh, I'm so stressed. You can be like, how lucky am I that I have all these clients that keep me busy? You know, really thinking about, again, like controlling our thought patterns and the way in which we think about things.
You actively turned your thoughts around. You're active in it. I love that about you. Well, I guess we'll button it up for today and say till next time. I can't wait to talk with you again. I have so many things I want to ask you about, but another day.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at The Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.